Okay, but we're holding here in Pasuk Vav Yud Veira, and there's it says Vayda Hashem Moshe Lamar. The word Lamar is one of these words that's very, very unclear what they mean. It appears a million times in Chumash. There are obviously different places where it has a little bit different meanings. It can't always mean to tell it to Kal Yisrael, because it doesn't always seem that way. So the two big, so the Ramban is as follows. So the Farshim said that the word lemar means go and tell it over. Vatam, which means sheyom Hashem lemoishe emor Yisrael devarei ela uvekan lemar paro. So whenever the word lemar is used, it means these are the words that you shall say, repeat, etc. Vakosar shama emes emor elai lemar. When he said that Kachor came and dreamed to me yesterday, lemar, and then the Baal Nachum says, we've got a problem. He didn't. The dream wasn't told anybody. V'chein b'mekomos rabos sheyichpo v'daba shamay shalema dal mitzamat aleihem. All the places where the pasuk says v'daba shamay shalema daba mitzol, so lemar can't mean to speak to Kal Yisrael. V'chein v'daba shamay shalema daba mitzol, and all of these psukim that he brings, where you see that lemar is followed by emerald Yisrael. V'chein v'seid hazeh v'daba shamay shalema lemar ki daba lechem par lemar. So again, the word lemar is not. It doesn't mean go and tell it. But Nachum Beinai says, the Ramban says, Kimilas lemar lahoros al bir ha'inyan b'chol makom. The word lemar is something which is it's an interjection meaning exactly this. It's like sometimes when we have a statement with a colon, this is the way it ought to be. You put a colon down. And there's sort of an implication that this formulation that we're going to give is extremely precise. By davar shemoshe ba'amira gemura lo amira sufek as a remezdom. Davar shemoshe lema means he told it to him in as clear a speech as possible. L'chein yaseh debchol haTorah, and that's why the entire Torah, the word lema is most appropriate use. K'nevuas Moshe pel pe davar v'olam chidos. Moshe's nevuas pel pe. V'lovin amar kem leYaakov emesh am Hashem elai lemor v'amir avruos la'azik lachem kilula ken isi oisim lachem ra v'chein v'yomer Yisrael Moshe lemor shay oimlem kem efeirs v'etzarkim lem begoli ponim ki amokar labira inyan pa'amukdam pa'amukha v'oimrim emorlem na'atzai. So the word, whenever you use the root of emor, it can mean in the future, it can mean in the past. But al kapanim, the lemar always means to say something out as explicit as possible, and so on. Okay.
How does this mean pshat then? How would you work it in all these psukim? Daber el bnei Yisrael v'yamar. It seems like a bit redundant still.
No. So v'dal shoshel lemar. Akash Baruch Hu called Moshe in the clearest of possible words. Speak to Kli Yisrael and tell them the following. The difference, lema would be, it's like the difference between somebody who is talks sort of offhand, conversational tone, where you tell somebody, don't pin me down on what I'm saying, it's kind of, it's approximately and so on, versus somebody that is very, very strongly crafted every word, and every word is precise. Okay, the next one, page 324, is an Ebenezer about what does the word Nevi Echa mean? It says, Rima Hashem al Moshe, Hashem told Moshe, Re'ei nesarticha lehim lefaro, I've made you the boss over Paro, Va'aron achicha yeh Nevi Echa, and Aaron your brother will be your prophet. What does it mean, your prophet? I thought only Hashem has prophets, and so on. Vayome, Tam ro'a, when he says Re'ei nesarticha, what does it mean, Re'ei nesarticha? Shasircha maila gdula, shatia nechsha bein Paro kemailas malach, in other words, Hashem told Moshe, take a look and see, you've become Paro's mentor, angel, so to speak. Paro is looking up at you with reverence. And he's going to speak to the Navi, and the Navi speaks to the people in that generation. So the Elohim is the great one, the important one, the Malach, and a Malach talks to a Navi, and Navi speaks onwards. So it goes in two stages. Like every Nevuah comes from a Malach, the Rambam says. The vehicle is a Malach. A Malach brings the word of God down to the prophet, and the prophet brings the word into out to the world outside. Now, however, there are those who say that a Navi means the spokesman. The word Navi comes from Nivsfasayim, which is the fruit of the lips. So some people say the word Navi means spokesman. That's the sort of the root of the word. Kishorish Niv Me Hashinayim Lefidas Chochme Tzarfas Umalume Ha'ayim Lefidas Chochme Sfarad. So it says the word Niv, what is the root of Niv? It has two possible derivations. Either a two-worded root, known as base, or it's missing the ayin of Paul. But according to both of them, that's not v'sherish navi sholosh aisyas. But navi is a regular three-letter verb. You have a ha'ed like neviim v'yisnavu ke'alef u'sherish. The aleph is part of the sherish. It's not something added extra or whatever. V'oid kinis osayin kol pri k'mezeres tuva oidu v'seva v'ed anemon. And over there, it certainly doesn't mean fruit. V'oid, it says another thing that would make sense. Matam hashev eishes ish kinavihu. Over there, when we fit into the pasuk, just because he's a navi and he's a spokesman, what does it have to do with giving back his wife? If he rusha davrinhu, the word navi just means a speaker, spokesman. Just a navi elikim. Just saying a navi, it could mean a spokesman for anybody. Rak pirushahu. Navi she'agaloloi soidi, kiderech kim gilo soide lavodav ha'neviim, v'umis anegalai, akei v'yisfal bat chovechyei. So, Devanessa doesn't quite tell us how he gets to the word Navi, meaning the confidant of God. So, Navi is not the one that speaks from God, he's the one who gets the soid from Hashem. So let's just step back a second and understand something. A Navi really sort of straddles a gap between God and man. He gets information from Hashem, which we would call a secret because that hasn't reached people yet, and he gives it over to humanity. So the first pshat is it's as a spokesman, and the second pshat is he's God's confidant. He gets things close from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to add a point or two to this. The Rambam in Yesod HaTorah speaks about Nevuah, and it's clear that Nevuah is a personal achievement. Nevuah is important, not simply that a Nevuah is a guy who's got credentials, and when he talks in the name of God. Nevuah is important because the Navi is, it's a madrega of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As a person works his way upwards, he goes through a HaKodesh and a Nevuah. So that would fit a lot more the second pshat, where the Navi is the one who's close to Hashem, as opposed to the one who's down on who's the spokesman to people. Even though it does both, but the aspect that's important to us is the aspect of him being close to Hashem, and then giving it to us is part of a mandate that sometimes he needs to come and tell us about it. I want to add another piece here to add a little more understanding to the concept of knowing God's secrets. We are used to sort of a very baby/teenage type of attitude that, you know, people that I'm very friendly with, I tell them secrets, and they're not told to anybody else, and so on and so forth. So we think a Navi, like Hashem, likes Navim a lot, so whenever he's got a great secret to tell, he calls in the Nevi'im and he says, hey, Rabbi Shaya, I got to share this one with you. Now, the problem with that is also, since the Navi is supposed to tell it over a lot of times, it does stop being a secret, like once it helped everybody. So let's try to understand it. Yeshaya is called a Navi because he knows what Hashem is up to and how he feels that morning. And most of the time he's busy telling it to people. So it's no longer a sight. So why does HaKadosh Baruch himself tell it? That's really sort of a question. So we need to have a finer understanding what it means God shares his secrets with him. The Maral says, when he speaks about a Navi knowing the future, he explains it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings things into this world in a step-by-step process. So things take on a certain less than physical, once something is decreed, it takes on a less than physical appearance, and it slowly becomes more and more physical till it becomes what it is. So just like I drop something, if I have a machine, I have like, I don't know, let's take a very simple machine, like in a matzah bakery. So you dump a piece of dough into one end of the machine. So somebody who's never saw what comes out the other end can guess, but he really won't know. A guy who knows what a matzah looks like, so as soon as he sees the dough jump in, he says, okay, another pound of matzah coming out the other side. So Kadosh Baruch Hu brings his things down into this world step by step from a very, very vague ruchnistic way, and slowly it becomes more and more material-like until it takes on the shape we have. A martial kind of predicting the weather. So sometimes you have a prediction where you say, well, in 10 days from now, 5 days from now, the way the moisture is going, the way the winds are going, and so on, it'll get there. So that's not great. Usually those weather are not great. But sometimes you already see the drizzle. It just hasn't come to your neck of the woods yet. There's a rain. It's this rain moving forward. And that's almost always right because it's there. It is already there at some point. It just hasn't reached it yet. So the Navi is able to perceive those things that have already taken place before it's come here. They sort of see the rain there. So it's a sight for the Navi. It's a sight for the world because the world is not privy to that. The world is not holding Madrega where they can perceive the Gzeres Hashem Dvar Hashem before it becomes an actual physical reality. And then by coming to this reality, that's where we realize it and so on. Okay. So I guess the one thing in this point in the evidence is it's both are synonymous. Being closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes you more aware of things in a form that it's not yet, it hasn't reached the material state yet. If I give a muscle for this, and this will help us understand the closeness of the Navi to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his ability to see the future. If you're dealing with a person and you're asking yourself, what's this person going to do next? So I can go many different directions. I can say, well, it's in his interest to this, it's in his interest to that. He indicated he would do this, he indicated he wouldn't do that, and so on. But if I know a person well and I know his moods, so I can tell when he's going to do or not going to do something just by kind of his expression, his body language. So I can say with a certainty because I understand the person better than the other one does. So it's not a prediction of a future, but it's a present that is not yet formed so strongly that anybody can recognize it. So it requires a closeness of me to recognize it. But once I'm that close, I recognize it and I see what's going to be. Okay, the next piece is a long piece, and I would better said it's many, many pieces, where the Rambam, where we discuss the issue of Bechira and Gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I've broken up the Sefer instead of just one long piece. We've broken it up into the points and different Shonim on it. Basically, the Rambam. So let's frame the big question, and then we'll go into the details. This parsha is one of the first parashas that really deals with Bechira head-on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to go to Paro. You're going to present an argument that's really, really powerful and compelling. And anybody who's reasonable would desist. But I'm going to make Paro so stubborn that he won't. And that way, I'll be able to show my greatness and so on. So the question is, okay, God can do anything he wants. And basically what he's saying is, I'm robbing free will from Paro. I'm going to make him stubborn. Means that Paro would have normally, under normal circumstances, agreed to let him go. Anybody smart knows that given the choice of being pulverized or sort of giving in a bit is a smarter move, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make him stubborn. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interfering with his will, ability to choose, one. Two, so why do we call Paro the Russian terrible, terrible Paro, and Paro? I mean, poor Paro, he's somebody hijacked, using current language, made it a zombie, and they robbed him of his free will, and he's using it. That's the issue the Rambam deals with. It's obviously a very fundamental issue, and the other is shown him. Okay, so the Rambam of the Shuva says, Psukim harbe, yesh b'torim neviim. So this Rambam of the Shuva, where he deals with Bechira and or Yediyah. Fascinating, by the way, the Rambam has a Hilchos Tshuva. One would have expected this to be in Sora Torah, in Deos. Hilchos Tshuva, well, yes, it's relevant to every single, Hilchos Chametz and Matzah, and Bechira is also relevant. Why Hilchos Tshuva, I don't know. It's not, maybe not the place to give the answer, but it is something to note. But the Rambam says, I just said that a person has the Rishus to do whatever he wants. There are many psukim that seem to contradict this. And people make mistakes. Some people will think HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes on the Masorate. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees whether the person shall do good or bad. And that a person is not free to do what he wants. The next piece is a Shemayne Prakim. And it's the same exact question, phrased a little bit differently, but that's the question. He also asks it, the way in which he asks over here is Ishan Prakram. He says, so what was the game that HaKadosh Baruch was playing with him? He's saying, oi Paroi, Moshe's coming to you, please, please send the kids. And they send the kai, so Moshe says, no way. Well, hello? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch's not letting him. What's the game about? Okay, so now, so the Rambam Shon Prakram here is basically the same as, and now we'll continue on with Shuva. Vare ani mevaye ikagalu. I'm going to explain a very fundamental point. Shemimena teida piris kares ha-psukim, which help you understand all those psukim. Brings a few more psukim. Vata ha-sebois leba macharanit. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Elio accused Kadosh Baruch Hu of turning Klai Yisrael to bad, and so on. Bizman shodam echaran shemidina choytim. Va'oise ha-chet. When a person sins willingly, the person in full cognizance and will sins, royally permit, he deserves to be punished. And Kadosh Baruch Hu knows how he's going to be punished. Some sins, the midas adin is that the person that we that the person shall be punished in this world. Him, his money, his young children. Because young children are his. Some averus are most appropriately punished. Olam haba. Wonderful life, olam habas. V'yesh chet shefen v'olam haza ul olam haba. V'medram mo'ez mashal se tshuva. Avam al se tshuva, tshuva k'tisvim for anis. So, different averis carry different levels of onish to them, different venues for onish. U'kishem sh'adam choytim da'asur tzoyne, kach o'is tshuva da'asur tzoyne. So, the Torah adds that, tshuva, chet, are all v'daitim tzoyne. Then he says, so the Rambam says, basically, the Avera person knows is up to him. The punishment and the venue for the punishment is up to Hashem. It's possible a person will sin very strongly. Until there are some punishments that Hakadosh Baruch Hu puts every obstacle in front of tshuva. It's deserved. In other words, your first sin was done willingly. What are the consequences? One of the consequences is that there's no appeal anymore. They become hardened. They began insulting the Shluchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his prophets. Ad alois chamas Hashem ba'amoi, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry enough, ad lein marpe, and until it reached a point where there'd be no rectification, there'd be no cure. Lefika kazotar nechazei pare, lefisha chotto me atzmoi, vitchila, veheira li Yisrael hagorim ba'atzoi, shnema hovenes chakuloi, nosen hadin lena tshubben ashipben v'yazan shvach libay. So the Rambam says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had given power b'chira. The b'chira lay in how he would treat Klal Yisrael to start with. And therefore, the treating him, so it was up to Paro to make a decision how he would continue and what he would do. So once he chose to sin, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that the right thing to do is to take away the ability to do tshuva of him. He'll explain later what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gained by that, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't do that. But at least Al Kapanim understand that his lack of Bechira at this junction is not an essential lack of Bechira, but rather that is already in the wake of him having done the first sin. He says the same thing in the next piece, is the Rama Mishmona Prakim, and he says, what he adds over here is, he explains a little bit why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. Let's take a look. So in the Shmona Prakim, he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who knows exactly when which punishment is appropriate. Let's take a look on page 326, the continuation of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. V'lomo yeshalech lo b'yad Moshe bo yimashlach v'asei tshuva, v'kva'om l'akadosh baruch ein atem yeshalech, shemata v'dach yadati, v'lom v'avur zoyse v'aticha. So why, so okay, it's fine, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entitled to do that, but what kind of sadistic pleasure is it to keep torturing Paro? So he says, ואולם כדי להודיע לבוי העולם שבזמן שמונע הקדוש ברוך הוא תשובה לחוטא אין יכול לשוב. It's to teach people that if הקדוש ברוך הוא doesn't allow you to do תשובה, you can't do תשובה. אלא יומס בראש אשר זכו רצייני. A person is willing to concede much to הקדוש ברוך הוא. We're willing to say, you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is great, he's strong, he's powerful, that. The one thing he can't do is make me do something I don't want to do. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, here, it's for every advantage you do it. When I deprive you of your ability to do tshuva, you can't do it. V'chein sichom, l'fei avonu shehoyim bo nizchayev l'monim v'na tshuva, shem v'kishon kech tzrucha v'imitza zavavoy. V'chein haknanim, l'fei tavaseyem, all those mispsukim where it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu deprived them of the ability to tshuva, it's only after they did their avera. So they did their terrible avera, and then it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who was showing everybody. I want to add a point over here as to what it is all about. You know, most of errors are because of some taiva, some rotzen, and the punishment for that should not be a loss of bechira. But when you have an extraordinary error like this, which is lahachis, where he denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, So, or if a person sins a lot, it gets to a point where a person says, "Less din, less dayan." So then, the midas hadin is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the person's bechira, he no longer is capable of acting. There's no greater contradiction to his sense of invincibility, of being above it all, than losing your bechira. When you became helpless, it strikes at the heart of what you were saying. I'm stronger than God. God might be great and powerful and got all sorts of tricks up his sleeves, but it's up to me, and I decided I'm not giving in to God. Well, you just realize now that you've lost your ability to give in. You've lost your ability to not give in. You have no more bechira left. So it's a certain mida keneged mida in a very, very powerful way.
The lesson, at the end of the day, the lesson seems to be for the greater olam as opposed to the person themselves. If they're losing that ability, then it's the punishment.
Correct. It's to mark something for everyone. That is absolutely correct. Mm-hmm. As far as this goes, I want to add just, we'll stop here in terms of the Rambam, because we've basically, and again, Rambam Shlomo Prokhorim is very, very similar to what he says over here. Just wanted to add a point. Why is it Nilchas Tshuva that Rambam brings it? All the places, I would say Sotah Torah, maybe Deos. I think the answer is like this. In every Aveira or Mitzvah that a person does, in doing the Aveira or Mitzvah, we don't see a demonstration of free will. For instance, I do many mitzvahs, I do many averas. Somebody looking outside, a psychologist would say, yeah, I these are things I like doing. Some of them fall in the mitzvah, some fall in the averas. I like doing them, I've been conditioned to doing them, I've been coward into doing them. But the fact that I do many things in many different ways means nothing. But the ideal tshuva is oisim makom, osa isha, and so on. And so in the same situation, I walk by something I shouldn't do, and now I decide to do it. And then a month later, I say, oh my gosh, why did I do it? It was terrible. And I'm in the same situation, and I don't do it. So this is the first time that I see real bechira at work. All mitzvahs and averas are possible without bechira, just the way how to go about it. But tshuva is only really, of all the mitzvahs, tshuva is the core of bechira. The same avera with the same situation is creating two different realities for me. And that's where I really do see bechira. I think that's where the Rambam brings it next in the back. I put it, so we have it around Shita, that the reason for the reason why Paro was requested constantly to let them go, and yet his heart was hardened, was a type of punishment that Bechira, that he, because of the various he did, he lost his right for Bechira, and that's why it would be like that. Okay, we'll hold it here. Okay, so next.